Good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome in on the 6th of May. How we all doing? Hope you made it through Cinco de Mayo. Today would be a good day to go to your favorite Mexican restaurant. There will be a lot of tables open.
Should be.
Everybody wants to go to a Mexican restaurant on May 5th. So why not wait till May 6th?
Oh, yeah, that's probably
you want to go to your favorite Irish pub? I always say, hey, March 18th is the same day.
Yep.
You know what? They're going to serve you the same food, and you don't have to put up with the debauchery. So hope everybody made it through a Wednesday. Welcome in. This is a Thursday edition of the Gary Sharp Show, 35 past the hour. There's George. I'm Gary. It also is a local music Thursday where we will present sound. Local sound will be a part of our music repertoire. Today, as we roll till 2. Coming up here in a little bit, Jacob Padilla will join us. And then at noon, Omaha basketball coach Darren Hansen will join us. What an interesting last couple of months for DH. It was an awful year for Omaha men's basketball. 5-20. There were a lot of things that worked against Omaha, but they were also their own worst enemy. Barely made it into the Summit League tournament. It just was not a very, very, very good year at all. And then at the end of the year, as mid-majors have that love-hate relationship with the portal, you lose three players, and two of them are your top scorers. And you think, oh boy, what's going on? And then things turn around because you use the portal to your advantage, and you use it locally. Isaiah Poorbear Chandler transfers from Wichita State, and just within the last hour, on quite the journey that Omaha has stuck with, Akola Rope, and Akola Rope, former Omaha Creighton prep star who went to Nebraska, did not play this past season after undergoing knee surgery, is coming home, and he will be playing at Omaha. That's a huge pickup for Omaha. They've been working on it actually for a few years, but Akola has come to Omaha, and that's a big pickup. So congratulations to Darren Hansen, Tyler Irwin, who has a fantastic relationship with Akola for 5-6 years. And then Kyle Lutke, who was Akola's point guard, who is on the Omaha roster, also helped in this. That's a big pickup for Omaha, and DH will join us coming up at noon. As they were letting me in on this was going to happen a while back, I gave DH a poll question. He is when he joins us, he will actually be out in Kearney because his daughter, Abby, is graduating from UNK tomorrow. And I said, what is a bigger thing for you? What's a bigger deal? A Cole or Abby? So DH will join us coming up at noon. We got lots to discuss. We got off on the Angel Hernandez. Last night was a bad night for Angel Hernandez. He ejected three Kansas City Royals. When Brady Singer, who I think is pretty mild-mannered, goes off after a balk call, it was just bad. Angel Hernandez has continued to be bad, and I think it gives the profession a bad look. Not everybody is Angel Hernandez, but the way that Major League Baseball deals with Angel Hernandez really puts a stain on that profession. We will get into that. Someone might say, speaking of stain on profession, there's a lot of hockey fans out there I see today. A lot of hockey fans telling us how the sport is and how the sport should be and what happened last night between Washington and the Rangers, where it turned into fight night and you had six in the first period. A lot of new hockey fans, welcome. We have to discuss on why that happened last night. That usually is the rift between the hockey fan and the non-hockey fan, the newer hockey fan, the old school hockey fan, on something that has been in the sport for a while. Was it a great look last night? No. But, man, did you not see that coming? Instead of the Rangers accepting $5,000 fine to Tom Wilson, they said, we'll choose violence. And it's a league where players police themselves. Fighting and incidents like last night where you begin with a line brawl, those are so rare nowadays. But what if we ponder this question, and we'll discuss it throughout the show. What if you allowed fighting in all sports? What if you allowed fighting in all sports? For the most part, sports police themselves. Yeah. Players police themselves. But what if you allowed fighting in all sports? What would it be like? We used to have fighting in the NBA. We had some historic fights in the NBA. stuff that stayed on the floor. And then the one that is mentioned the most, and I see is getting mentioned today, is the malice at the Palace. But what if you allowed fighting in all of sports? It's part of hockey. Do they embrace it like they did in the past? No. But you could have seen that coming last night. And the Rangers got it out of the way right away. They're proving that they're not soft. And a line brawl begins. They're not messing around. The downfall of last night is if in that game, there was a really, really good story. TJ Oshie, who is a USA hockey hero, longtime NHLer, his father passed away. He's from Warroad, Minnesota, which is one of the hockey capitals of this world. His father passed away. In his first game back, he scored a hat trick. I mean, pretty emotional moment for somebody who's at the tail end of their career, and that won't get talked about. So we will talk about that, among other things, as we roll until 2. Did you see how quickly, George? Damon brought it up, and then it went away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now would be the time for me to go get the broom out of my car. All right, 40 past the hour. If you'd like to hop in, you heard our discussion of the crossover about Angel Hernandez and what Major League Baseball must do or will not do and kind of where the profession is going. We will discuss 951-1620. You can always email us into the Equitable Bank inbox where they take banking personally. Gary or George at 1620thezone.com or on the JTech Construction Twitter feed at GarySharp1620, at MyAcesBlack04, or the official Twitter handle of the show, at Gary Sharp Show. We've got lots to get through. First and foremost, before we get to Greg here before the break, it was National Teachers Day earlier this week. Mm-hmm. It is Teacher Appreciation Week, should be every day. And just like what today's Appreciation Day is, it should be daily. And that is National Nurse Appreciation Day.
Oh, I love that.
It's a whole week. They are the superheroes in disguise that have carried us through the last 13, 14 months. And I am from a family of a lot of nurses. My mom is in the nursing industry. She was a nurse and then got into administration. Her sisters, they were either nurses or they became doctors. So thank you to everybody out there that is a nurse and what you have to go through to become a nurse and what you go through on a daily basis. And it is can be a heck of a rewarding job. It can be a frustrating job. It can be a sad job. And over the last 13, 14 months, it is a job with men and women and what they do that we have greatly needed. And we say thank you, and we can't say thank you enough. And it hit me even more. I was pulling out of my house today on the drive here, and one of my neighbors, and I have some nursing school students that live in my neighborhood, but there is a nurse and her hospital, I wish I would have caught the name of the hospital, put up a sign outside of her house that said, heroes live here.
Oh, I love that.
So thank you to all the nurses out there. It is Nurses Appreciation Day. And I guess in this country, this is how we say thanks. You can get a free donut and a cup of coffee. All right, 10:43. That's the lineup. Good show ahead. Good discussion today on a Thursday. We're back in studio. Great to see George and be with all of you. Let's start with Greg. Greg, thanks for the call. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, you bet. Thank you. Hey, just real quick, I wanted to touch on what you guys were talking about in the crossover. And I would venture to say that if you called the NSAA, and I'm only speaking from the high school perspective and the small college perspective, there's a real shortage of, you know, I do softball. So I'm here in Fremont. You know, you talked about getting behind the plate. I'm about ready to get behind the plate here at a college game in Fremont. I do basketball as well. I live out by Hastings. And the thing is none of us are getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
We're all getting older. And I was telling George that out where I live, out south of Hastings, there are football crews that rearrange their schedule to pick up a game at 4 o'clock because the high schools had to move their game up to 4 so that they can get a crew to work their football game. And then that same crew will drive 30 or 45 minutes or an hour a different direction, and then do a 7 o'clock game because schools are not able to find enough umpires, football crews, basketball officials. I mean, you name it. And then Michael touched on it. I think he said, I wouldn't want to be behind the plate, everybody yelling and screaming at me. Well, therein lies your problem. When a young kid gets involved in sports officiating, and you've got, you know, I'll give you an example. I was doing a game last weekend, college doubleheader down in Bellevue. Mm-hmm. And one of the assistant coaches said, yeah, my husband just texted me, and my daughter's game, they got a 12-year-old behind the plate, and his dad's trying to help him out in the bases. Mm. Man, these dads and these moms are just lighting him up. They're lighting up a 12-year-old who's trying to get involved in sports officiating. That's a big problem when parents, they don't realize that if they yell and scream at that kid, you know what that kid's going to say. It's going to be, screw this. I can go get a paper route, or I can go mow a few lawns and make the same money, and I'm not going to get yelled and screamed at.
True.
So I think people, you know, and then they wonder, well, how come we had to cancel our game? And the coach says, well, we couldn't find any umpires. Well, there's not enough young kids getting involved, and when they do get involved, somebody lights them up, and they say, well, forget it. I'm not going to put up with this baloney, and then they get out. And then you're just back to trying to recruit and recruit and recruit.
That's kind of
the way it goes.
It's tough. I know here in the Metro, softball and baseball umpires, it is a major shortage, whether it be high school or youth, and it's very scary. But
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a tournament coming up this weekend, starting tomorrow in Omaha. It's a fundraiser with, I don't know, close to 200 teams, and they can't find enough umpires. And I know the guy that's trying to find umpires, and I mean, he sent out 400 or 500 emails trying to get people to come and work, mm-hmm. and they've got other commitments, they've got other, you know, tournaments they're doing, or their kids are graduating, or whatever it may be, but there's just not enough to go around. So when mom and dad, when you're sitting there wondering why your kids' games get canceled, you know, how'd you treat the umpire the last time you were at the game? Were you lighting up a 12-year-old, or were you just sitting there trying to encourage your kid to make a good play on the field? I mean, they really ought to think about it a little bit.
Greg, thanks for the phone call.
You bet.
That's something that we talk about periodically on this show, is the life of an official, an umpire, the abuse you take. It's a rewarding job. Nobody's doing this full time. They're doing it as somebody loves the game, want to stay in the game. But you throw in the pandemic last year and the stories of officials being verbally abused or attacked, and for some it's just not worth it. I mean, that's everything Greg said is you hear from people that have gotten out of it that you would think, man, I thought you were really good. No, I'm not going to put up with that anymore. But it's not only the shortage, just baseball and softball in this area, it is shortage of talented officials up and down. People that are committing to the profession, it's fewer and fewer. And I remember, I've said this, Damon and I have talked about this a lot, because we spend a lot of time in gyms watching AAU basketball, and there's a lot of the same guys and gals that work AAU games, and they work a lot of games. And, you know, that's not the easiest thing to do because there's a lot of people that chirp on you. But they keep coming back. And, you know, luckily for around here, some of the better officials during the winter also give their time to work in AAU. But it's across the board. It's across the board that it's scary that we're going to get to a point that there's going to be more and more shortages. It's not just baseball, softball, basketball. It's football. It's volleyball. It's hockey. It's soccer. You know, I know somebody told me a couple weeks ago that they've really struggled to find soccer officials, whether it be working at the youth level or even JV soccer, because they just don't have enough people. And I've always advocated for people that have played the game and are out of the game, but they want to stay around the game, man, you might be our best officials. You have a different sense of the game than us that have not played the game at that level. I know organizations try and encourage that. It doesn't always happen. I go back when I was younger playing Little League Baseball, and this brought this up with Greg saying, you know, 12-year-old's behind a plate and he's getting dog cussed, is you had to umpire, before you were done in my Little League organization, you had to have umpired one game, at least.
Oh, wow.
Behind the plate. You know, because on the bases, when you're playing Little League Baseball, it's dad. Yeah. Mom or dad is out there. But behind the plate, it's somebody that either is, you know, part-time as a kid, or it is somebody that's, you know, what they do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you had to, one game before you were done, you had to work behind the plate of some game, whether it be down in peewees, minors, majors, intermediates, senior league, you had to work one game behind the plate. Because they were hoping that if you worked one game, you would say, oh, man, it's kind of nice to have this $25, and I didn't mind it. But that was back in the days where you had the big balloon chest protector. I miss those days. I really enjoyed it. I got some other interests, and but I did, because my dad did, when he had time, he was an official. He worked football, basketball, baseball, and softball in Iowa. And I would go and do the baseball and softball in Iowa because they have summertime. And then I would work high school basketball when I was in school in Lincoln just to make some extra money. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed umpiring baseball. I liked the balls and strikes. I didn't have a problem with that. I hated being on the bases because I'd have to figure out if that was a balk or not. I'd blow a call at first base or on a turn at second.
Yeah. It's a hard job. Yeah.
Damon and I think we're going to go and work an AAU game this year.
Oh, let's go.
I think we'd be okay.
I think you guys would be fine.
I think we'd be okay. We know enough. The mechanics might be a little bit off.
Yeah.
But I know that we would do something that it just drives me nuts in basketball in the summertime to see. We would make it cross half court.
There you go.
I know that you're doing a lot of games.
Yeah.
And not everybody is like this. I mean, the ones that are bad really stand out is where you don't make it up and down the floor. Yeah. You don't ever cross half court.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, come on, man.
That should be the one goal every game. Get past half court.
The other goal is our guest coming up at 11 to get him to officiate a game. All right, 10:51. Darren Hanson, Omaha men's basketball coach, will join us at noon. We will also get into something that yesterday we kind of ran out of show. We were talking about Nebraska football. The least concerned position group you have going into the fall and the position group that gives you the most concern. 951-1620 or in the Equitable Bank inbox. Gary or George at 1620thezone.com or on the JTech Construction Twitter feed at GarySharp1620, at MyAcesBlack04, at Gary Sharp Show. This is the Gary Sharp Show from the Grunwald Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing Zone studio on 1620 Z Zone.